Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. Yesterday, I began a message, really just an introduction, on a message I've entitled Only Believe, and our text is found in the 11th chapter of John. And as I brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, I had shared a powerful scripture in Isaiah, the 54th chapter. Verse 2 says, "Enlarge the place of thy tent, spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes." And God is wanting to encourage and comfort us and strengthen our inner man. These next several broadcasts, as we share the word of the Lord, we hear God speaking to us. And I believe He's doing that in a very personal way, because many are looking for answers, for solutions. It seems like they're just have been at a stalemate spiritually. And they want so much in God. They want to, if you love God, you want to be used by Him and for His glory. And there's just so many things, obstacles and hindrances and problems that you've had to deal with. But there is an answer to every problem we face. That answer, of course, is Jesus. But what is the victory that overcomes the world? Even our faith, the scriptures tell us. And in Isaiah 54, verse 3, it speaks of increase, breaking forth on the right and the left, their seed inheriting the Gentiles, speaking to Israel. But we also are spiritual Israel because of Jesus, the desolate cities to be inhabited, that God wants us to move on. He spoke to His people. He said, "You've come past this mountain long enough." There's a time we just get stuck, and God wants to get us unstuck. And we do that by a willingness to do that which He shows us to do personally and in the Word of God. And so obedience is critical. So having laid a foundation, now let's actually go to the lesson the Holy Spirit wants us to focus on these next several days, found in John, the 11th chapter. And this is a story of Lazarus of Bethany. Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto Him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom Thou lovest is sick." When Jesus heard that, He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And verse 6, when He had heard, therefore, that he was sick, Lazarus, He abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now, unless you understand the nature, the character of the Lord and His purposes in the lives of His beloved children, you might question, why did He do that? Because it was apparent. I mean, the Holy Spirit moved on the Apostle John to say that, I mean, can you think of any other place in Scripture where it says so clearly Jesus loved these individuals? I mean, He loved everyone. He was moved with compassion. He loved people. His heart was moved with their affliction, with their sicknesses, with their oppression. But it says very specifically in very clear terms, Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And so why didn't He just drop everything? Wouldn't you do that? And go immediately to the place where they were, into their home. And so this apparent hard-heartedness of the Lord is shown by apparent inaction. He doesn't do anything. Beyond natural reasoning, and it's beyond human comprehension, why wouldn't you respond? And here we have to understand, beloved, of another passage of scripture I'm sure you're very familiar with, his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And even, and this is sometimes more challenging, if you walk with the Lord for any length of time, you begin to become acquainted with him. You begin to understand his ways. And a lot of the things that are complete mystery to new believers, well, you understand because you've walked with the Lord for a while. But obviously, these three people, Lazarus, Martha, Mary, his disciples, have been with him almost 3 years. This is at the end of his earthly ministry. And by refusing to answer their request, he desired to give them far above what they had asked for. They wanted him to be well. Well, he was going to demonstrate his power in a much more amazing way. And let me just, I'm going to take some time to just read this, the further passages as we go on in verse 6. Well, I shared that. In verse 7, after those 2 days, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go into Judea again." Now, his disciples who were with him said, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" And of course, they might have thought in their own minds, maybe this is why Jesus didn't respond right away, because of the imminent danger that was very present because of the Jews and their desire to put him to death. And Jesus answered and said, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, because they were still not quite clear on the subject, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep." And of course, we know in the New Testament that talks, when a believer is sleeping, it talks about the transitory condition of natural death. As a believer, we never die. Our bodies may, but a glory, eternal life is promised to us, including a new body. Then, again, his disciples didn't understand, as is apparent by the narrative, "Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well." Howbeit, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. And then Jesus has to tell them plainly, verse 14, "Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go on to him." And as so he arrives there, and then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. And in verse 22, she goes to the Lord, verse 21, "If you'd been here, my brother had not died." But verse 22, she's actually expressing faith in Jesus' power as well as his compassion. And hope is speaking here. "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee." And so in verses 25 and 26, he encourages her to believe. "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Jesus is saying, "I am the resurrection and the life." And if we believe in him, though our bodies may perish in the grave, or if we're spiritually dead, we shall become alive. And even though the bodies of the, in fact, those who have gone before, when Jesus returns, they are going to arise before those who are alive and remain in terms of the rapture. And so what an amazing, what a glorious thing to contemplate, that In verses 25 and 26, he is encouraging Martha, as well as all of us, as we share this passage, to believe. Believe in what? In him, in his sovereign power. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Martha believed God would answer his prayer, but Jesus wanted to demonstrate by his word he could do and work anything. In fact, he spoke the worlds into existence. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is the living Word that we serve, Jesus. He is the living Word of God. And also, he was encouraging Martha as well as us regarding the new covenant, which he was going to very shortly establish in his blood. Remember when he and his disciples were together at the Last Supper, he says, this is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. His bread, the bread of the communion, was his body that was soon to be broken. And so this new covenant references the physical, on a physical level, healing as well as resurrection of the body, and spiritually for our human spirits, our human souls, to experience blessed immortality. The spiritual life of the believer shall never be extinguished, ever, but perfected in eternal life. Praise God. John 5 and 24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Praise God. Well, I see my time is coming to a close, and I'll bring the sharing of the word to a conclusion at this point, and we'll take up tomorrow at this same place as we go on to learn the lessons Jesus wanted them to learn, as well as us, in application for the life that we now live. Praise God. Well, I thank you for joining me. In a few moments, the announcer will give our contact information. I invite you to write and share your prayer needs. You may be going through some very difficult times. You may feel that all hope has died. The things that you wanted so much, it could be your death to dreams and visions, that you've lost your opportunity, you've failed God. It's too late. Beloved, it's never too late. God can make everything turn about for good. I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.